Good afternoon and a great Sabbath day to each and every one of you. I'm glad that you can all be with us today. The topic that I've chosen for this Sabbath, I've titled it Small Beginnings. Man's way of doing things is to start with an impressive show, to put on something big, something spectacular, something that will win the attention and admiration of as many people as possible. This is natural and human, but very immature. Yahweh's way is the very opposite. He begins everything he does in a small way, with a seed, an idea, a word, or a baby. But then there is growth, increase, and steady progress. Let us examine this spiritual concept of small beginnings and steady growth and see how the Most High seeks to work in our lives. And if he isn't already doing so, then let us determine to change. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." Now there's points to note here. The size of the seed. It was the least, meaning the smallest, of all the seeds. The man sowed it in his field. Its steady and continued growth. It became the largest plant in his garden. The common mustard of Palestine is Synapsis nigra, or black mustard. It grows wild, attaining the height of a horse and rider. It is also cultivated in gardens for its seed, which is used as a condiment. What is the seed? The seed represents a characteristic of the kingdom of heaven. Initially, it may appear of small account and not worthy of attention, but like that tiny mustard seed, Yahweh's truth is infinitely powerful, and once it takes root in the human mind, it can become the most important thing in a believer's life. Yahweh's kingdom, his word, his law, his power, his authority, his fame, and his ever-growing influence over all things may initially appear insignificant and small, but never underestimate truth and its power. This fact is encompassed in the parable of the black mustard seed. Now let us look at a few examples of this characteristic of the kingdom of heaven in the past. What about Gideon? Turn with me to Judges chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. Judges chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. In other words, I don't have the money. My family is poor, and I am the least important person in my clan. If you study the full story, you will see how Gideon, with God's help, routed the enemy and delivered Israel. He didn't think it could be done, but with the Almighty on his side, he accomplished the impossible. What about the little maid? Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning in verse 2. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning in verse 2. The Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. This little girl knew where healing could be obtained, and she overcame her natural hatred for her captor and imparted that knowledge, small though it appeared to be, to him. As a result, Naaman the Syrian was healed of his leprosy, and he and his family became worshippers of the God of Israel. The little boy. Turn with me to John, chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. John, chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves, and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. This little lad was probably the most insignificant person in the crowd, and his lunchbox held so little. Even the fish were small. And yet, what a miracle was accomplished with his gift. 5,000 people were fed. Imagine for a moment the thoughts of that little lad as he witnessed the multiplication of his lunch. Would he ever forget it? I tell you that all through eternity he will recall the story we know so well. It will never leave his memory. A mighty miracle worked on so small a gift. The young man. Turn with me to Acts chapter 23, beginning in verse 12. Acts chapter 23, beginning in verse 12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priest and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore, ye with the council, signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him." And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, "Bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him." So we took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, "Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee." Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, "What is that thou hast to tell me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee." So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, "See thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me." Here was a young man who saved Paul's life. If he had not done so, many books of the New Testament would never have been written. This boy saved Paul's life. Little creatures, read Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 to 28, and I want you to make note of the following. But make sure you read Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24 to 28. Little creatures, ants, tiny and apparently weak creatures, but wise, industrious, and able to feed themselves. Conies, weak and defenseless, but wise enough to shelter in the rocks. Locusts, they have no king, but they are organized and to be feared. Lizards, they can penetrate the palaces of kings. Can we, as believers, learn from these tiny creatures? Can we do what they can do? Do we attempt those things? In spiritual matters, are we as able as those little creatures? Bear in mind that they were all put on earth by the Eternal to illustrate spiritual lessons. Are we learning those lessons? Are we applying those lessons? These little creatures teach us about the kingdom of heaven. They are object lessons of great spiritual truths, which you and I may apply on the spiritual plane. Are we wise? Are we industrious? Are we able to shelter in the rock, Jesus Christ? Are we organized, or are we disorganized? Have you ever penetrated the palace of a king or ruler? Let's learn from them. What can we do? From these examples, we can learn certain facts about the kingdom of heaven, of which every believer is a part. Here is a brief, though not complete, list of taboos of which to rid yourselves. Never imagine that poverty, weakness, or insignificance disqualifies you from being effective in the work of Yahweh's kingdom. The lack of size, power, wealth, good appearance, and talent are no handicap in spiritual matters. If anything, being small may be a positive advantage. Remember Gideon. Even the weakest believer can pray, and prayer is a mighty weapon. Prayer can do anything that God can do. Learn to pray, because more can be accomplished by prayer than by money, talent, or even by hard work. Never underestimate the power and potential of the seed of truth. Its power is measureless. It is well able, if sown with prayer, to outgrow any plant in the garden. Remember the black mustard seed. Never imagine that the truth is unable to penetrate certain places. Like the ant, the spider, and the lizard, truth can penetrate the palaces of kings. It can enter and flourish in any mind, if allowed to. Never suppose that by giving to the cause of the kingdom, you will somehow beggar yourself. Like that little boy, you will not only feed others, but the Most High will bless your gift, no matter how small it may be, and you will get it all back with more besides. Remember the little boy and his little fish. Never think that the truth you possess is only for your own salvation. Pass it on. Remember the young man who saved Paul's life. Truth saves lives. Never withhold the message of salvation from an enemy, no matter how much you may dislike them. Pass on the truth and remember the little maid. Be a mustard seed in the garden of God. Amen.